Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
1 o'clock hour, Chase Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin in today. High school football is coming up. Can't believe a week from Friday, things get underway around the mid-state. Got some jamborees and everything this week. We say hello to Brian Coleman. He's the head coach at Summit High School. Coach, how you doing?
All right, guys. How are y'all?
Well, we're fantastic because it's almost here, and Joe and I have spent a lot of time together on Friday nights talking high school football over the years. It's the purest form of football, but, you know, you've been doing this for a long time, coming off another successful season. I know it came up just a little bit short for a state title, but how has camp been and workouts this summer?
It's been good. We graduated 25 seniors. Only have one returner on offense and three returners on defense, so it's been quite a learning curve for some of these guys. They really didn't have any much varsity experience, so it's been a lot of work. They're working hard. They've been working all summer. We get up at 6:30 in the morning and go to about 9 in the morning, so get them up out of bed and before the heat hits, and that's been the moral of the story this offseason, is all the heat, trying to beat the heat, I guess you could say. So kids are working hard, had a few scrimmages, looking forward to Henry County in 2 weeks.
You know, it's crazy, Coach. You know, you talk about that, you know, losing so many great players. You've had such great success over there. But I got to think, as a coach, you love this challenge, I think, with the new kids coming in, a new team, a new start. How much are you looking forward to this?
Oh, it's definitely a different feel than years past. Years past was a lot of expectation put on us and put on the team and put on the coaching staff, you know. We had the Wade twins. We had the Brady Pierce. We had a great offensive line. And, kind of everybody expected you to be great, and which is fine. That's good. That's a great challenge. But now, kind of flying under the radar. You know, Summit High School hadn't been mentioned by anybody this year. And kids know it. Kids see it. And they're hungry to prove that they belong also.
How quickly did you put behind – I mean, you get all over the state championship. How quickly did you put that behind and say, all right, we're on to 2022 now?
About 3 weeks, maybe 3 weeks after the game, 2-3 weeks after the game, kind of sulk a little bit, and before you start reflecting, you know what I mean. You feel bad for losing, but then it takes, as a coach, and I guess players, anybody, it takes a little while to get over the sting of losing. But then you start looking, you have your banquet, and you start looking about what all these seniors have accomplished and what a great season it was. You know, to go 14-1 and to be in the state championship game, a lot of players and coaches don't get to do that in most, you know, in their whole career sometimes. So, you know, you start reflecting after a few weeks and appreciate the season that you had.
We're talking to Brian Coleman. He's the head coach of the Summit Spartans. Of course, you won the championship in 5A in 2020 and have had all that success. You know, I know you weren't there, but Joe and I remember when Summit started and the football program started and when they got their first win and how cool that was. To just kind of see things from once you got there and how it's grown and how you've been able to influence these young men, how rewarding has that been?
Oh, it is. And in our first year, we were 0-10. So, you know, we felt the sting of that. And I think it makes – not that you wish bad on anybody, but I think every head coach or every coach needs to go through a season like that and just know, appreciate after that, appreciate the things about winning and – But we're just trying to develop a good program here. We've got great young men. It's a great school. So, just try to work them hard. And if they want to go to college, they go to college. Give them opportunity to go to college and play ball. If not, they've learned something from football. I think every man in America can say, oh, I learned a little bit of something from high school football and appreciated it. And hopefully learn something from your coaches and teammates. Just as well.
Amen, Coach. That 100%. The Wade guys, I know they've gone off to college and everything. What was that like? I got to be thinking, Coach, that you didn't know what college coach was going to walk the halls at Summit to come see you. I mean, it had to be just a cavalcade of coaches.
It was. It's fun. You learn a lot about it, too. You learn a lot about that recruiting system. not always a fan of it, Joe. I mean, honestly,
right.
You know, the way they talk to these kids sometimes, or way even these college fan bases get on these kids on Twitter and stuff like that. It's just sometimes it's not too much fun, but it's great talking to college coaches. You get to meet them personally, and it's fun to see them, a college coach, or talk to them, you know, off the TV or off the field. So it's fun to get to know those guys, and I'm just so proud of the Wade guys there in Kentucky. They've been there since early June. Put on about 25 pounds apiece.
Wow.
Looking really good. I mean, it's just unreal, because, you know, they weren't older kids. They were, you graduated at 17 or, you know, a young 18. So they're hitting their stride right now. And, you know, these colleges, man, they have the weight program and the nutrition and all those things. And it's just down to a science, and the kids are working hard, and they look really good right now. I know Keaton's probably going to challenge for a lot of playing time this year at outside linebacker.
Wow.
Destin's probably about third-string quarterback, but you know how quarterbacks go. It's going to be hard to ever go into a program and start as a freshman. So just really proud of those kids, and can't wait to watch them play.
Coach, you think at some point, we've been talking a lot, Chase and I this morning, about the NIL and college football and all the deals and everything. You think at some point that hits high school, and if so, is that a good or bad thing? And if you don't want to comment, I completely understand.
No, I think it can be a good thing, and I think it can be a bad thing. I mean, the bad thing is kids chasing money or kids chasing opportunities and hopping from high school to high school, kind of like what they're doing in college right now. I just think that will be awful awful for the team concept. Because we're all about family. We're all about team. We're all about, you know, you're 11 on a football field. You got to work together. You know, no individuals. But I feel like that could possibly take that team concept away. Now, on the other hand, I mean, if a kid is doing a camp or something and teaching young kids on the way to do things and to show young kids how it is to act, on and off the field, you know, why not throw them a little bit of money or throw them a little bit of something for running camps or anything like that? I think that would be a positive thing for communities.
Talking to head football coach of Summit, Brian Coleman, with the season starting. You got Jamboree Thursday or Friday?
We're not going to Jamboree. We've had two scrimmages. We did Riverdale and Stewart's Creek. Just a decision a lot of coaches started to make just because it's so close to early in the season. So we're not going to Jamboree. We're just going to kind of enter squad Friday and then go from there.
All right, Coach, I'm looking at your schedule, and starting September 9th when you go to the Blackman High School, you're on the road – five straight Ooh. Games. Like, what'd you do? How'd you draw that?
Man, I tell you what. Well, when we did it, we had just came off the state championship year that we lost to Knox Central. So then you're trying to make up a schedule. It's not easy.
Yeah. Right.
First of all, it's not easy to get teams to play. We're a wing T offense. We do things a little bit different, and everybody knew we had the weight coming back. So it was hard enough to get a schedule, and then I was just taking what we could get. I mean, just whoever would possibly say yes. That's what happened. And then you have to work logistics out as far as home and away. And that's just the way it fell. I mean, our non-region is brutal. Our region is brutal. So just take what we could get. And, hey, let's look at the positive. So now we'll know for five straight weeks. We'll know the routine of getting on a bus and going somewhere else. So kids love routine. So let's just use that as a positive.
I got to think, if I'm a high school coach, I want the challenge. I mean, it's like Bobby Bowden at Florida State in the 80s. Nobody would play him. He's like, all right, we'll come play you. And they're like, okay, we didn't think about that. Just go on the road and compete. I mean, that's what football's all about.
It is. And you know, fans want to see it. Your kids want to play the best. If they're a competitor, they want to play the best. And that's what kind of kids that we have here. But I mean, I hate to say it, Joe, but a lot of coaches chase wins. I mean, they just want to at the end of the season they want to be 7-3 and quite possibly lose in the first round. We're not about that. We'd go 5-5 and let's see what we can do in the playoffs. We play some great competition and some great high school football teams.
And there's a few coaches that chase those 7-on-7 titles too, but we won't bring those coaches up.
We got 30 more minutes to talk about that. We can go.
Coach, I want to end it with this. You know, you mentioned this earlier. I've seen everything going on in college football right now. We've obviously talked a lot about NIL and what that means and transfer portals and how college the college football league is basically what we're starting to see. I hope and pray that none of that ever comes to the high school level. But how do you look at that now as a high school football coach and, you know, preparing these young men that could go to the next level of how to manage that, how to navigate those waters? Because it's obviously got to be kind of a part of the teaching process now.
It is, and I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is be careful of the vultures. Be careful of the people that don't have your best interest at heart, because there are a lot of those guys. And they're going after high school kids, which is awful. But I think that's the biggest thing as a coach and as parents to warn people about that, or try to pick them out and try to, you know, educate them about, you know, some guys aren't in it for you. Some guys aren't in it for some in high school. Some guys are in it for themselves. And just kind of just keep them away from those kind of people and warn them about those kind of people. I guess that's the first thing that would come to my mind.
Well done. Coach, as always, you're one of our favorite people. Congratulations on the great success you've had there. And I know you're busy. Thanks for the time today, Coach.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Love talking to you, Joe. See you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Brian Coleman, head football coach at Summit High School. And, you know, and I'll tell you, Chase, he's just a small sample of these great coaches in our area that really mold young men every single day on the football field. And sometimes, you know, in life they become, they're like their second father. And we got some really good men who are leading programs here in Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, they will open the season next Friday, so August 19th, at home against Henry County. Should be a great game. One thing that I do kind of like now that you're seeing, every team has a Thursday game, it seems like. I think that may be. And a lot of that has to do with fall break. Like when they go on fall break, they're not playing Friday. They're going to play Thursday night. Do you like that? Do you like that they're playing some games on Thursday night?
Well, you know why? There's a shortage of officials.
Well, that too.
That's why they're doing – every team's got to play at least one Thursday night game, because there's a shortage of officials. And we could do a four-hour show on why we have a shortage of officials. I think we all know why. I wouldn't want to be an official.
I was literally about to ask you that. How much it would take for you to go do that?
Now I would do it, because if I'm allowed to fight, then I'd do it, because you're not yelling at me.
You know what I would do? Like I've always had this in mind, and this is probably because I got yelled at by my coach a few times.
Right.
But just walk to the sideline, arms crossed, just let him yell and just scream at you, spit in your face, whatever, and you just stay there, don't even like make a facial expression, and then just nod, and when he's done, just pull the flag out and throw it.
It's funny. You know, I asked Tim Corbin one time, I said, what do you do when you know the call's awful and the umpire's awful? How do you restrain yourself? He said, it's easy. He's just like, great call. You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Way to go. Great job behind the plate. Great job. I mean, you know there's that sarcastic tone.
Oh, yeah, and I could just hear Corbs doing that too.
Why did you throw Corbin out? Well, he told me I was doing a great job. What? That's why. So, and I always laugh. So it's like, great job. Way to go, man. Fantastic. On top of your
game. You're really
today.
Seeing it today.
Yeah, right.
You're really seeing it today, Blue. Oh, that's fantastic stuff. Coming up next, though, are we worried that this NIL stuff could seep down to the high school level? Because I am, and I want to discuss that. He's Big Joe Dubin in today. Chase McCabe here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, but Big Joe Dubin in today. He'll be here basically. Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to really be able to get rid of you.
No, man. I'll just stick around here. I know there's an empty cubicle somewhere that I'll just occupy for a while.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I appreciate you. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure
and
to
I'll
have you.
I'll turn the lights off and clean up, you know, and after the Stillman Show at 6, so I'll be here to do that.
Yeah, Jared going to pop in here at the end of the show. And people, you know what I get asked all the time? Does Big Joe really hate Jared Stillman? And I say yes.
Let me tell you this real quick about interns. So we did the game blitz back in 2012, 2013, 2014. And Jared had just gotten out of college. He came in and went out and did the game blitz.
Yeah.
So he busted his butt. And people like, a lot of kids like, I want this job. Jared went out and has an intern and did reports on high school football for us.
Yep.
You know, willing to work, show the commitment, and then that started you on the path where you are now. I tell interns all the time, go in and take advantage of the system. If they don't do high school reports, go do high school, you know, and do things like that. Build that resume and keep going. So he'll always have a special place in my heart for that.
Yeah, and what's funny is he wasn't loud and obnoxious then. He was actually kind of laid back and quiet.
Listen every day.
What was funny about that is, so that show – that particular season, I was producing it, and that was one of the first things that I did as a producer. Ryan Porth, our former program director, was kind of like the stat guy and would help find scores and everything. Yeah. So he worked on it. Jared was an intern and going out and reporting on games. And then Austin Stanley, Zach Bingham of A to Z Sports,
yeah,
they did the same thing. So
great.
It was kind of a who's who. And I'll never forget, I think Austin was at Independence. And he texts both of us and says, hey, Butch Jones just landed in a helicopter.
Yeah,
you want me to try and get him? And we said, well, yeah. And he literally calls in. He goes, hey, I got Butch Jones here. And he hands the phone to Butch Jones. He obviously couldn't talk about who he was there to see.
True.
But he gave us 2 or 3 minutes.
It was great.
And talk, and they were playing the next day. I mean, talking UT football, and he came on the show. So, I mean, that was kind of the magic of Friday nights.
Yeah, and we all have a connection to Friday night somehow, somewhere.
Yeah.
We all have a connection. Well, I didn't play high school football. Well, did you go to the game? Yeah, I went to the game, hung out with my friends. Da, da, da. I mean, there's always this connection to high school football. So it's always – and I told you this. If you want an NFL player to talk nonstop, ask him about their high school career.
Derrick Henry, prime example. He talks about it all the time if you bring it up.
Friday nights, when the Titans were doing those scrimmages at Centennial High School, you go in the locker room, hey, tell me about your Friday night. Oh, man, they just go on and on. And it's great, man. It's great to have that connection, and that's just a huge reason why I love high school football.
It's the purest form of football, how concerned are you that some of this NIL stuff is going to seep down to the high school level?
I'm sure it has in some places. Yeah. I'm sure it has. I mean, maybe not as much here as it's been in Texas or Ohio or Florida or California, places like that. But I think it's coming. I don't like to see kids bounce from high school to high school. There's more to life than football, right? There's more to life than high school. High school football is fantastic, and we love it and what it does for these young men. But if you're not starting at school A and you're going to school B and you don't start at school B, then you go to school C. I mean, at some point, it's on you.
Right.
And, you know, it's, hey, man, I'm going to give you this. Don't tell anybody. $2,500 to come over here and play for me at school B, right? Then the kid gets up and leaves, you know, the school that he's at. These are 15, 16-year-old kids, man, to make that kind of decision.
And, like, I worry, too, because you're going to have some schools that can do more than other schools.
Absolutely.
And because of where they are or what they are, and that worries me too. And you have that, you know, you obviously have that in college now with the Power Five and the Group of Five and the boosters that are involved in it. But, you know, the transfer rule too in high school, I remember we had a guy that, this was basketball, was really, really good. And he had transferred because I think they had moved. And because there was some reason there wasn't a waiver or anything, he had to sit out. And this was a good player that, you know, had to sit out because of the rules. And I think in that case, I've heard stories of like a kid having to sit out because the parents split up and, you know, he went with one parent and they moved.
Yeah.
And so he had to go to a different school and they had to sit out for transferring. And I think stuff like that, it's okay. There should be a waiver process. You shouldn't have to sit out, like, especially if you move. But I agree with you that this just, you know, coach told me I had to go sit on the bench. So screw him. I'm going over here.
Yeah, I'm going to go. And then so it's not just more of these kids that, you know, we're talking about the college, you transfer, you're going from city to city. But, I mean, it's, you know, 5 blocks away, you're going to another school and you're not seeing your friends every day. I mean, you build those relationships in school and all that. And I know there's instances of, I know there's schools that recruit. You know, they've been recruiting back when I played. I know there's, you know, Brentwood Academy came after some of my teammates. I mean, Father Ryan. I mean, you know, why not? They can do that. And it's been around, but now it's more like, all right, now what are you going to do for me now? Well, I mean, you can get free education, go to these private schools that go on. You can have a great little career there. That's fine. But at some point, these schools are going to start doing it. It's going to have to, right? It's going to drop down there.
Well, yeah, and I mean,
if I can't pay my light bill and my mom's a single mom busting her tail every day, and some coach says, "Hey, come over here, we got your light bill." How do you say no to that?
Right, and again, that is the haves and the have nots. Yep. I mean, like, there are schools that they can do that, and they can, you know, look at a kid and know that, hey, you know what, you can go get an education based on your athletic ability. Like, you see those kids. Prime example, My junior year in high school, we scrimmaged JP2. And the coach at the time, I was the manager, but I was, you know, like doing some – taking notes or whatever. He says, watch number three. And so I watch number three. First play goes 80 yards for a touchdown.
Do I know this player?
You know this player. Golden Tate.
Right.
Okay. You see that kid and you go, yup, they're going to play on Sundays. Like, you just know. And he did. He had a tremendous career both at Notre Dame and then in the NFL. And so coaches see that too, that they see a kid that is gifted and they know, all right, you're going to make my team better. I mean, the Wade twins and what they did for Summit High School. We were just talking to Coach Coleman.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw those guys early on and go, okay, they're special. There's just something about them. And I love that, you know, a school like Summit or you just – these kids come up through the ranks – and they get to experience that. I don't want to see that tainted by recruiting, even though it's been around in high school football and you know, this what's happening in college football.
Yeah,
I want it to remain the purest form of football.
I mean, another example. I mean, if you're, you know, you need groceries on your table, come, yeah. You know, I'll help you get groceries. I mean, how do you say no? You just don't say no to that thing. And you go over there and you play and – you know, and that's the fine line of why, how much is too much or is it not enough that goes on there? I don't know. Again, we're not talking about football.
Right.
We're not talking about lining up. You know, Bear Bryant said the two most important things in football are blocking and tackling. That goes to any level of football, college, NAIA.
But unfortunately, it's not anymore. And it should be, but it's not. Like, you have these kids. And the other thing, too, is the generational gap of – you know, kids today just, they want it right now.
Yeah.
They don't want to work for it. They want it right now. And, you know, I'm curious if you're a parent. I mean, you how you combat that, because it was different for you. It was different for me. Obviously, there's a little bit of a generational gap here, but I worked for everything I have. In my head,
yeah.
Like, when I walked in here as an intern and met you for the first time, in my head, it's like, I want to do the show with Big Joe.
Yeah.
I was nowhere near ready to do the show with Big Joe. The first time I did a show with Big Joe, I wasn't ready.
Right.
And got yelled at for not going to break on time.
That's okay. So. You got threatened.
I did.
Not going to break on time.
I did.
That's the thing. That's what goes back to the Stillman and the Austin Stanleys and the Zach Bingham and the A to Z. These guys came in and worked it. I mean, they were interns and they worked their butts off. They took advantage of the opportunity that was presented in front of them. You know, Mike, Keith and I have had these great talks throughout the years about high school football. He's like, whatever you do, somehow, some way, stay grounded to high school football. If you're going to be in the business, stay grounded to it, because it brings you back to why you got in the business to begin with. So if you're out there listening, do that. You know, go cover the high school team. Go see if they need an announcer. Go help out the radio booth. Just do something. If you really want to get in this field, you can. You just got to get off your butt.
Yep. 615-737-1025. Doug wants to weigh in on our conversation with high school football. Doug, welcome in.
Hey, you know, Big Joe, love to hear you talk.
Thanks, bro.
Always referring back to Walt Wells. I've been around a few camps, but I just want to go back to in the day of when, you know, you always say when I was, we were all, you know, putting in to go to Texas for one reason, them sacks of money. And the thing is what happened, and this is what fears me today, is that, you know, let's just say, for example, school A gives you a sack of money, and then school B gives you a sack of money, and you wind up playing for school C. Now school A and B want to know, where's our money at? I've seen it happen. Yeah, think about it. You know, as a kid, you don't know anything.
Right.
So you spend, and let's just say, we spent our time running from the people who had, you know, did some things that we didn't stay obligated to. So that's what fears me now. What happens when that kid doesn't, you know, return the favor?
Ooh. Yep.
I think about that. This is life. I'm telling you, I saw it.
No, and I think it's certainly true. Thanks for the call, Doug.
I didn't think about that. Doug, thank you.
Yeah, but it's quid pro quo. I mean, in some ways,
Tony
that's
Soprano
what it is.
Knocking on your door, like, Mom. Yeah, that's a great point. Goodness.
And it's unfortunate because the kid doesn't know any better, you know?
No.
And in some ways, the parents don't know any better. I mean, it just depends on the situation. And it's obviously tough. You know, it's definitely a tough time, you know, and that's why I hope that this stays the purest form
football. But again, you can't fault some of these kids to take advantage of it. I mean, you just can't do that. By the way, we're watching the playing game for Little League World Series, and some dude hit a home run, Chase, and I swear to God, he's 25 years old. Watch, you see him jumping. I mean, he's
riding on a motorcycle.
Watch him come, look him coming in home plate.
Good Lord.
There's no way that kid's 12. He might be 19.
Yeah, he might be.
He had a straight shot to center field. What game? This is New Hampshire, Massachusetts, whatever. Hey, Nolensville, congratulations, right?
Yes, congratulations to the Nolensville Little League team. They're headed to Williamsport for the Little League World Series. So very, very cool. Coming up next, we'll continue this conversation about some of the NIL stuff, get back into the Titans as well. But you know what? It's my turn to tell you about Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, because it is my favorite. It is my go-to when I'm out and about with my friends. I like it as a shot, chilled, and it's always a good time. But you can have it on the rocks. You can have it as an espresso martini, a PB&J shot with a berry liqueur, a peanut butter old-fashioned. That's what JoJo likes. Whatever you like, go to screwballwhiskey.com for more recipes. But I love it because it's an original just like me. It's the most awarded peanut butter whiskey in the world, and it's made with real peanuts, real peanut butter, and, of course, real whiskey, natural flavors, and goes down oh so smooth. So when you're out and about with your friends, do like I do. Order it by name. Say, I want a Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, Big Joe Dubin in today. We'll be looking for a new producer soon because Nick Kieser keeps playing this.
What is this?
It's the Mets. Something with the Mets. Stupid Mets.
What about the Mets?
Chase Willie and D-Mace, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York Certified Comfort Expert Company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. The Mets are really good. They're in the same division as the Braves, and they just beat the Braves 4 out of 5 games, and they're just trolling me.
Okay, it's Edwin Diaz's walkout song, Joe, and we played it the other day, and Teron played it from the Titans practice, and then I saved it before the show, and then was going to play it. Well, I played it again after Teron played it, and then Chase was like, I've had enough of this.
Yeah, basically. So now he's just trolling me.
Oh,
trolling the suit.
Before you go on vacation, at least, man, I have to have fun with you a little bit.
Yeah, clear his mind, you know?
Yeah,
beach is calling.
The beaches of Cheyenne.
Beaches are calling them. All right, so we got the and I wanted to bring this up with the Titans preseason game tomorrow night. For 3 years, I did the Titans preseason game sideline reporter. Yeah, I wasn't some cute girl. I was just a big old fat blob there on the sidelines.
Did a great job.
I did a fantastic job, as always. So I go back to one game, which always made me laugh. Titans and Falcons, 2008, down in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome. And Mike, was it Mike? The coach of the Falcons, Mike White, was that his name?
Yeah, that sounds right. Mike White, yeah.
Took over the
Mike Smith, I think. Was
Mike Smith?
Name. Yeah.
I don't know. It's Mike's. Mike, if you're out there. It was his first year, the head coach, 2008 for the Falcons.
Mike Smith.
Yeah. So during the production meeting, the morning before, or the night before, whatever, Jeff Fisher says, I'm concerned about this game. And I'm like, it's a preseason game. Why? He's like, well, Mike Smith wants to establish something in preseason game one, and I got a feeling they're going to try to fight. I'm like, somebody said, well, you know, they'll fight like in like get a good fight going, like, you know, block you good. He's like, no, they're going to try to fight us. So game goes tomorrow that Friday night, and it was awful. Michael Griffin got ejected in the second play. I mean, their players got ejected left and right, and he was trying to establish that tone. So I got to do the halftime interview with Fisher. Oh, I'm like, and he is steaming. I mean, that mustache was flaring. He was so mad. I was like, oh, man. The producer's like, hey, by the way, we got an extra minute if you want to talk to him. Like, I don't want to talk to him for a second. He's mad. And I said,
but he liked you. So that,
yeah,
that helped.
No, he was just mad because he didn't want this to happen, and it came true. And I said, hey, coach, give me your thoughts on the first. And he just took off. He's like, I told you in that meeting what they were going to do, and they went off. I mean, he just went off. And he's staring at me, and I'm thinking, oh, that's an amazing mustache throughout the years. Just screaming at me. But he wasn't screaming at me, just in the microphone. And it was a crazy – but I'm thinking, this is a preseason game. right? It's a preseason game. So the Falcons ended up winning that game, and after the game, we were 15 minutes light. So the producer's like, hey, you need to stretch. We need you because I'm in the booth. They're going to do something, and you got to stretch for us a little bit. We got to.
Who was in the booth for you at that point?
Was it? I think Corey Curtis might have been in the booth.
And was it Corey or Dwyer?
Corey and Eddie were in the booth.
Yeah.
And then they had to do something. So like toss to you. So I got VandenBosch, and we did this interview on the sidelines. Well, the fireworks go off in the Georgia Dome. I mean, loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then VandenBosch is like, what's happening? I'm like, and I'm on air live. I said, oh, the Falcons haven't won a lot in this dome, so now they're shooting off all the fireworks they've saved up. Right? Big mistake.
Uh-oh.
So the game gets replayed on NFL Network.
Oh, no.
Like that Sunday and Monday. And I just remember I wasn't on Twitter yet. But my email through Channel 2, and they started coming at me. Oh, man. They're like, how dare you? And I said, like, God, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything wrong. They haven't won a lot. I got a lot of fireworks saved up in there. And I'll just remember the next week, the Titans played at Green Bay, and it was like, hey, be careful. I was like, I didn't say anything, but I just said something that was kind of, I thought, funny. We all laughed about it. But I just saw right when fans just get enraged.
Did Jeff say anything to you?
He apologized after the game for the way he treated me. It was really nice. I said, hey, I got a question. I talked to you for a second. I'm sorry the way I treated you and being like that. You're still friends. And that was it. But it was one of those moments was like, oh, my goodness, what goes on? Just, you know, looking at a preseason game, but there was more to it than just a preseason game.
But you know what? That was 2008, right?
Correct.
So what did they do in 2008? They went 13-3 and won the division. So – hey, or number one seed.
Well, that's a lot of things. If you come out of the team, and if you can build the team like everybody's after us, and it's we're gonna fight for each other. There's a coach a long time ago that had a saying which really struck me good, man, which was fantastic. He said, "Alone, talking to players, he says, alone, one-on-one, you're good.
Yeah.
He said, but together, we're unstoppable."
Right.
And I was like, man, I got chills off that. I mean, that's a team. Football's a team game. That's a team. 11 guys fighting for the same thing. And I was like, man, that's the way you do it. So if you can build that camaraderie, us against the world, oh, yeah.
So let me ask you this, because you're the perfect person to bring this up with. So we were batting this around. You played college football at Samford University.
Not well, but I played.
You were there.
Right.
Wasn't Jimbo with you?
Jimbo Fisher was a quarterback. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, but you did play with Jimbo Fisher.
Can I tell you a Jimbo story real quick?
Yeah.
So we were doing a two-minute drill, and I was defensive end, and Jimbo was a quarterback, and he had the red jersey on, which he taunted all of us with. So they had a play. We knew what play they were calling. It was a screen pass. Blew it up, and play was dead. So Jimbo threw the ball and hit me in the crotch. And I was like, all right. And no, you know, and Terry Bowden defended Jimbo. Jimbo could do
Terry
no wrong.
Was a coach, yeah.
Could do no wrong. I said, all right. So the next play, I just forgot what I was doing and just shoved Jimbo to the ground. And I ended up running the rest of the practice after that. I mean, none of us really liked him. I mean, it was just that the quarterback, but yet he wasn't a leader. He was more of a, they put him on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never, and great, I'm glad Jimbo's at Texas A&M having a lot of fun and making money and winning games. But I don't, not a fan.
What was that?
Get used to it.
yeah. But throwing the ball in the crotch, really, you know, it's like about the longest yard. You didn't have to do that.
That's Bush League.
It is.
That's what that is. Okay, so here's my question. We were talking a few weeks ago, the USFL came back and, you know, it was a spring league.
Yeah.
And you've had some players that played in the USFL that have gotten signed to camps.
Love
and
it.
And they may not make the team, but they, you know, they're getting an opportunity to potentially play in the NFL. For somebody like you that, you know, probably had those aspirations at one point in time, if you had kind of a minor league that, you know, that the NFL backed, how beneficial do you think that would be for some players now that if, like, basically you had an 8-team league that, you know, if I drafted a guy, you know, you got drafted 7th round out of Samford or something, it's like, hey, you're not ready, you're not going to make the team, but instead of sitting on the practice squad, you're playing these games in kind of a minor league. How beneficial do you think that would be?
I think it would be, but I like it like it is. I mean, you can go Canada and play. I mean, the USFL and play. I know the Rocks bringing the XFL back. But it's you know, it's a privilege. It's not a right to be on an NFL team. It's a privilege. I mean, you have to earn that spot on the team, and you have ample opportunities. You have the 4 years of college. Yeah, you might have get injured. They'll find you. If you're good enough and got enough talent, they'll find you to put you on there. So I'm the. It's great for that, but you're not talking. There's not going to be 75 guys from the USFL make the NFL team. If you can find a few guys here and there, that's great. I don't know why. You know, to me, Canada was always fun. You know, went up there and tried out for Hamilton 30 years ago, got cut, the final cut, you know, which was fine, but it was still like there was the opportunity to do it. And all too often is that, you know, we like, oh, well, come on, maybe you can make it. Look, man, it's the football, NFL. It's you make it, you make it. If not, it's over, and you go off to another career. And Tim Hasselbeck had a great line. He said, because I said, Tim, you're on like seven teams. He's like, my goal is to be at least on 32 teams. I wanted 32 teams to tell me no. And I was like, man, that's a great way to put it. That's a great way to do it. So, yeah, for some it's good, but I think for the vast majority, they're not going to get to the next level. You can continue your football dreams, but, why not? I mean, I enjoy football. I enjoy the USFL. I'm going to enjoy the XFL. I enjoy NAIA. I'll go watch Cumberland football play. I don't mind. I like football.
Yeah.
I like what it does. I like what it means.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Warren Moon, the best CFL player of all time. You agree with that?
Doug Flutie's pretty close.
Oh, Moon's better.
Yeah, I just want to argue with you.
Yeah, okay.
Rocket Ishmael's pretty good.
Rocket was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's somebody I'm leaving out. I know it is. One person.
I don't know. Think about it during during the break here. Jared Stillman coming up next. We'll pick at him for a little bit. But we are your racing station, 102.5, 106.3. The game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 for the Federated Auto Parts 400 from the Richmond Raceway. You can also join me, Chase McCabe, every Sunday morning at 8 for Chasing Checkers as I talk to the drivers and get you set for race weekend. NASCAR 102.5, 106.3, the game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Jared Stillman next, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin in today as Willie's gone to Ireland and Derek's gone to Spain, and we're just here, and that's okay. Stillman and Company coming up here in just a few minutes at 2 o'clock as Jared Stillman has joined us in studio. I know you have some thoughts on J-Rob and his thoughts on the wide receivers, but I like what I've seen out of the wide receivers in camp, and I feel like you do too.
Does my microphone work?
It does.
It does.
Okay, because I didn't see a little
the lights.
I didn't see the light go on there.
The stand's fixed, though.
Yeah, now I'm excited for the preseason. I'm excited to be here with Big Joe. We'll be talking. John Robinson had a lot of interesting comments. You know, it's so funny because during the season, Vrabel is the topic of discussion almost all the time, right? Like, especially after the trade deadline, but even before then, because they don't trade as much in football, the coach matters in the season. The general manager is more important if, A, they're thinking about firing the coach, or draft time, free agency, and this time of the year where they're evaluating players. So John Robinson had some pretty interesting things to say and things that somewhat align with what I've seen at practice, which gives me an idea of what the Titans are thinking about their roster going into the season. So we'll dive into some of that and kind of, you know, see, probably get a real feel of what John Robinson said about how he feels about his team. So I'm excited about that.
Well, it's funny. We played a clip from John Robinson earlier, and you probably remember this this story.
Don't play it again.
No,
please.
We won't, because Joe goes, he just talked for 2 minutes and said absolutely nothing. And I told the story of when we were at the combine and Floyd standing there laughing because John did that and had learned that.
So one of my favorite stories. First of all, John sucks at that. Like the art of the art of saying nothing. I mean, I guess John's good at not saying anything. John sucks at making it not obvious that he's not saying anything. Vrabel is a much better at not saying anything but talking and making you feel included.
Floyd was the best at it.
Floyd was incredible at it. So one time, you know, Floyd had told me that one of the key things to do is to tell people something that they already know, but make it feel like it's special. So the trade deadline's coming up, and John Robinson goes on with Willie and Derek, and they ask him a question about the trade deadline and about making trades, or are you going to make trades, or I forget what it was. And I heard this and I laughed out loud, and we played it on the show. So John Robinson was asked about it, and this must have been 2017, 2018. And he said, you know, he was talking about just the theory of how trades get made, and then goes like, for instance, when we traded for Jack Conklin in the draft, you know, we went into the night, we really wanted Jack, and we saw a couple picks go off the board, and we thought this might be the opportunity to swoop in. So we called Cleveland, we moved up, we made the trade and ended up being able to get him. And it was like a 2-minute conversation. And Willie, I remember Willie was like, ah. And my head popped up. I'm like, well, no crap. John Robinson was looking at the board, called Cleveland, moved up, and got Jack Conklin. Because that's what happened. We all saw it. I mean, we all know what they did. So I played the clip for Floyd, and I was like, he literally just said something that we already know happened. Like, we already know this. And Floyd heard it and just goes, ha ha, my man. and so John is not as polished as far as saying nothing as old Floyder was, or as Vrabel is. I think it's just more of like Floyd and Vrabel might have like a different social personality than John Robinson. Sure. Not saying John's not social or anything like that. But it is, you know, I'm a big reader in between the lines. What does it mean? What's he saying? And, yeah, John Robinson, just like every other general manager. The one time that I got him to say something lately, and I didn't try to get him to say something, but I asked, like, is there any chance you're going to trade AJ before the draft? And he said, I don't foresee it. And the front page of ESPN.com, Titans Robinson does not foresee the Titans trading A.J. Brown. And I was like, yeah, he lied. And people were like, well, he said 4C, and 4C means, and I laughed because when that happened, I looked back and I said, wait a minute. The question I asked was, is he going to do this before the draft? Well, he didn't trade A.J. before the draft.
No, it was literally during.
He traded A.J. during the draft. Which I guess technically he didn't lie.
No.
He did not foresee trading AJ before the draft. He did foresee trading him during the draft.
He didn't tell you the whole truth.
Let me ask you,
Considering they were negotiating that contract with the Eagles the day before, yes. Yeah.
Say he doesn't trade AJ Brown. You talking about AJ Brown holding out contract dispute to the first game. I mean, this was going to.
Yeah, he wouldn't be in camp right now.
This was going to get really, really ugly.
So the CBA is written in a way that I don't think AJ understood when he was kind of firing off all those threats. AJ would be holding in. So AJ would be at camp, but my knee hurts. I can't practice today. I'm going to be a crybaby. That's what it would have been. And oh yeah, we'd have talked about it every day. I mean, it would have been, we would have pounded the crap out of that topic. Like, we would not have stopped talking about it. What? I would have been sad if they had signed AJ to an extension and we had to stop talking about the drama of A.J. Brown. Well, but yes, that would have happened.
I think, you know, as a GM, you don't want any drama. And I think this is going to get into the camp. This is going to get – this is all going to be talked about. Vrabel talked about after practice, up to the first game. It had been on and on and on and on. So trading him, getting him out of here, I think was just for the best.
So I've said this multiple times. I think that there's a handful of things that were at play. I think the first thing for me is – if Treylon Burks had gone one pick before at 17 to the Chargers, who I believe drafted Zion Johnson, the guard out of Boston College, if Treylon Burks had gone with that 17th pick, I'm not sure if that deal gets made.
Hmm.
Because then who's going to play wide receiver for the Titans if they were to make the trade for AJ for the 18th pick? And Burks was the last first-round wide receiver that was there. So I think the availability of Burks played a huge role in that. I think the second thing is the knee injuries. You know, that was a recurring knee thing. He had surgery on the knees after the 2020 season and was hurt again in 2021 training camp. Those knees don't just magically get better if they are degenerative knees. So I think they thought about that. And I think AJ's immaturity that he had shown through the process was another factor that the Titans said, you know what, we can get cheaper at the position. We can get less dramatic at the position and less injured at the position, and so they decided to take that risk. And time will tell if it works. I mean, Burks has looked okay at practice, but A.J. Brown's a special player. And so I'm not going to be one of these people that says good riddance, and A.J. wasn't really that good, and A.J. is good.
A lot of those fans were doing that. Did you laugh, though, the reports of him getting into the fight in the locker room on the field that continued in the locker room? I forget he was fighting somebody.
Oh, something at practice?
Yeah. This made me laugh, kind of like, is he overdoing it now? I mean, what's going on here?
A.J. Brown had a great touchdown catch in the open practice that the Eagles had on Sunday. It was one of those typical AJ, not great ball thrown by Jalen Hurts, which he better get used to. not a great ball thrown by Jalen Hurts. Turned around, makes a catch, like one-handed or whatever. And AJ made a great catch. And I said, you know, that's AJ. And Titan fans better get used to it because AJ's going to make catches like that for Philadelphia. Now, the day before, AJ dropped a touchdown. That's AJ.
Yep.
And Eagle fans better understand, like, AJ's not perfect. And the question is when does the drop touchdown come? For the Titans, it came on that Thursday night against the Colts. If that's a Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia fans are going to feel a lot different than if it's against Washington.
Get it, brother. Four more hours.
That's right. He's Jared Stillman. Coming up in just a few minutes, you'll hear more of that. More takes for sure. Caroline Fenton will be in here as well. We'll be back. I won't be back. Joe will be back tomorrow with Caroline. Chase Willing D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.